Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this third day of June 2020. And I am thrilled to have on the program today, for the very first time, someone who came with the highest of recommendations from one of my dearest friends and one of my favorite guests, Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, which is an Orthodox Presbyterian congregation in Deer Park, Long Island, New York. My guest today is Jennifer Michelle Greenberg. She's a pianist, a vocalist, a songwriter, who has received a wonderful commendation from Brian Ray, who is bassist and guitarist for Paul McCartney. She's an author, wife, mother, and half of a musical duo with her husband Jason, an advocate for victims of domestic violence and abuse, who has been commended by Tori Amos for her work benefiting these victims, and by President George W. Bush and Governor Sarah Palin for her charitable work for the military and veterans. And today, Jennifer Michelle Greenberg is going to be discussing her book, Not Forsaken, The Story of Life After Abuse, How Faith Brought One Woman from Victim to Survivor. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jennifer Michelle Greenberg.
Thank you so much, Chris. I'm honored to be here.
I'm going to give out our email address right now for those of you who desire to join us on the air with a question of your own. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And with a subject like this, I could readily understand many of you having personal and private questions. So don't be intimidated. Feel free, if it's a personal question, to remain anonymous. But if it's not a personal question, please at least give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Before we go into the book, I was wondering if you could do something that we have all of our first-time guests, who are Christians, that is, do when they're on the program. Could you give us a summary of your salvation testimony? And including
Absolutely. In that
the religious atmosphere in which you were raised, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life to draw you to himself and save you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chris. I was born into a, Christian or supposedly Christian family. We always attended either OPC or PCA churches.
That would be the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and the Presbyterian Church in America.
Correct. Yes, I was raised with Reformed theology, and we read the Bible every day. But there was a strange dichotomy in our home. Because on the one hand, I would, I'd hear about the love of God, grace, forgiveness, mercy, when I was at church. But then it wasn't lived out in our private lives. So when I went home, it was, you know, very unmerciful, very unloving and unforgiving. You know, and my dad was violent and perverse. And so on the one hand, I was introduced to God and to Jesus Christ, you know, as a concept academically, but I was not shown that love from my father. And, you know, but thanks be to God, I was saved at a very young age. I still remember being very young, I'm guessing maybe 5 years old, you know, playing in my backyard in the dirt, and telling God that that I wanted to get to know him more, that I wanted to learn about him, and I wanted to have a relationship with him, but I didn't know how to read yet, and so I couldn't read the Bible. And so I kind of made a deal with God. I said, you know, God, I want to be your daughter, and I want to be a Christian. So whenever I'm playing with my toys or I'm making up stories in my head, I want you to know that I'm talking to you. And so that was kind of my very first prayer that I remember. And I developed this elaborate prayer life with God. You know, obviously I would sit down and fold my hands and pray. But even throughout the day, I'd be, you know, doing my schoolwork or, you know, just about the house, you know, doing whatever. And I'd be thinking to God. And so there was this continual conversation going on in my head with God. And as I grew older, you know, I began to mature, and I realized that, you know, something was very wrong in my home. I started to realize that my dad didn't really love me. I realized that he was perverted, and I started to view him as a predator. In fact, I started to even have recurring nightmares about him raping me. And so I was kind of keeping God informed of all this in my prayers. And when I was probably 11 years old, I'm not sure if it was like a developmental milestone that I hit, but something really drove it home to me that my dad did not love me. And I told God that, you know, this man who's living in my house, this guy I call Dad, he doesn't love me. It's like a stranger is living in my house. And I felt that there was an evil presence in our home, and I felt endangered. And I told God, look, I'm going to be a teenager soon. I'm going to be dealing with all sorts of, you know, new issues. I'm going to be maturing, and I'm going to need a dad, and I don't have a dad. And so I prayed to God, and I asked him, would you please be my daddy? Would you fill that role in my heart? Even if I can't see you and I can't hug you, I need you to be my dad. And, you know, I prayed that probably just over and over again, just crying and praying, you know, into the wee hours of the morning. And I finally got what I really feel was an answer. I just got this sudden and overwhelming feeling of peace. And I knew that I was adopted and that I had a heavenly father, and he was good and faithful, and that he was going to get me through the next few years.
Praise God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all this led, obviously, to the writing of this book that we are going to be focusing on today, Not Forsaken, A Story of Life After Abuse, How Faith Brought One Woman from Victim to Survivor. And I've got to read a few of the commendations, some of which were written by friends of mine and people who I've interviewed on this program, one of which is Dr. David Murray, professor of Old Testament and Practical Theology at Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Murray says, the church has been crying out for a book like this, and the right person has now written it in the right way. Yes, it's raw, honest, transparent, and painful. That's why it will resonate with so many. But unlike so many secular abuse memoirs, This one is also full of grace, truth, gospel, and hope. That's why it will be redemptive for so many. And another guest that I've interviewed on this program, Dustin Binge, the Andrew Fuller Center for Baptist Studies. I recommend this work to everyone as a glorious reminder that we are not forsaken. In a culture saturated with victimhood and self-reflection, Jennifer takes us to the transcendent God who alone gives hope in the struggle of life through Jesus Christ. Also, another guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Barry York, who is president and professor of pastoral theology at Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Dr. York writes, "This is the riveting story of a young woman finding redemption from abuse by family and church. While not easy reading, it will help the church learn anew how to defend the weak and mistreated. Pastors and church leaders are urged to read, not forsaken." And last but not least, another guest on Iron Sharpens Zion Radio, William Bokestein, pastor of Emmanuel Fellowship Church in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and author of The Future of Everything, has written, "If you've never experienced abuse, take a moment to thank God. Then read this book to enter the scary world populated perhaps by your friends, family, church members, and neighbors. The church needs this message." And many more have written commendations for this book. Obviously a very important book. Well, it's always a tragedy and a nightmare, one that I know nothing about personally, when you hear about somebody being abused, both mentally and spiritually, but perhaps even especially physically. It's even complicated and multiplied many times over when you hear of the victimizer, the abuser, being one's own father. And of course, mothers have been guilty of this as well. Perhaps at the risk of sounding impolite, but you said at one point, moments ago, that you had nightmares of your father raping you. Did he actually ever reach that point?
I had a, yes, he, when I was about 2 years old. And, you know, it's funny because I didn't, you know, of course, at 2 years old, you don't understand things like that. But I kept, around the time that I got married, you know, I finally escaped my abusive home. I was free from the domestic violence, from the perversion, you know, and the psychological and spiritual lies and mind games that my dad played with me. And suddenly I was living with this man, Jason, my husband, who is godly and loving, and he cared about my feelings and my ideas, and he was interested in getting involved with my hobbies and supporting my career. And so it was this huge new experience for me. I'd never felt that before. I'd always been very discouraged from attending college, from having any kind of, you know, career ambitions or realistic hobbies. And so, you know, I suddenly realized, kind of to a new degree, I learned by contrast how bad my childhood had actually been. And I started having all these memories, you know, things I hadn't thought about in years, pop into my head just kind of, you know, uninvited. And I remember I kept having this weird feeling, particularly when I was, you know, changing my clothes or getting ready for bed, I would feel like somebody was watching me, even when I was completely alone. And it was incredibly disturbing. And it was around this time that I was, you know, I was diagnosed with PTSD, that's post-traumatic stress disorder. And, you know, I was having flashbacks and panic attacks and depression, and it was horrible. And I really felt like I was coming unglued. But at the same time, I had my mom and my sisters you know, verifying everything. And so it was horrible. And I told God, I was like, look, I feel like I have some kind of repressed memory. I feel like I'm not remembering something, you know, that's happened to me, because I keep feeling like I'm being watched and I don't know why. And I need you to show me. And as soon as I prayed that, this memory snapped into my head. And it was of me, and my dad was getting me dressed when I was very young, and I didn't remember much, but I remembered the shoes that I was wearing. I remembered the blanket on my parents' bed. I remembered the layout of the room and the look on his face. And I remember thinking that he was angry at me. And I can still see the look on his face in that memory, and it's just, I feel that it's a look of hatred. I mean, that's the only way I know how to describe it. But, you know, whenever you have a memory like that, you know, from so early in childhood, it's hard to know what to make of it. And so I asked my mom. I was like, well, this is what my shoes look like. This is what your blanket looked like. This is how the room looked. And she said, yes, you had those shoes when you were 2 years old, and that's my bedroom at our house in Memphis, and I remember that day, and I remember your dad coming to me and telling me that if you said anything strange to me, that he had only been checking you for diaper rash, and it was no big deal. And she told me that she thought it was strange at the time, and it had worried her, and she tried to talk to me about it, but I was too. And so I couldn't verbalize what had happened. But from that point on, most of his abuse was violent. The sexual abuse was mostly verbal, or, for example, he would do strange things, like he would plant pornography on the computer that I used for my homework. We were homeschooled, and so I did a lot of my research and book reports and such on a particular computer desktop, and so he would save violent pornography, things that looked like rape scenes, that involved girls who I felt looked like me and men who looked like him, you know, about the age difference.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I would, you know, I'd open up to, you know, write a book or report about Paul Revere or something like that, and I'd find, you know, an image. And it was just graphic and violent and demeaning. And so, yeah, I had recurring nightmares and, you know, and he would do things too. Like he would, you know, just walk around in his boxers and you could see everything you didn't want to see, you know. And so it was always done in such a way that I could kind of now as an adult, you know, I can look back at it and say, no, that's not an accident. That was sexual abuse.
Now, was there any pretense at home? Obviously, there must have been some kind of a pretense or a charade at church and in public, but was there any kind of a pretense at home to have some kind of Christian identity there? I'm talking about with your father, obviously. Did he ever behave like a Christian father? Did he read the scriptures? Did he seem like, if you didn't know this very grotesque and satanic side of him, would anyone think in his home, if they the other members of your family, because there's always going to be an act when a stranger, or not even
Absolutely.
A stranger, or a church member or neighbor is in the house, but somebody who is behind the closed doors of your home, like a family member, would they have viewed your father, well, maybe he is a Christian, he's just a sinner and struggling with sin, but he's behaving so often like a Christian, it's hard to tell. Is there anything like that?
Yeah, there was definitely a facade. I mean, you know, I think he used to, when I was a very young child, he would read the Bible with us every night. But that stopped when I turned maybe 10 or 11 years old.
Jennifer?
family devotionals.
Yeah, I'm not sure why this is happening, but you twice now have cut out for about 10 seconds. I don't know if you have call waiting or something, if somebody's calling you. Or...
No, there's a bad storm here, though, so hopefully that's not the issue. I can probably, let me see if I can go in another room. That would be better.
Okay.
But yes, so there was a time when he used to read the Bible with us, you know, when we were kids. But that stopped when I was probably 10 or 11 years old. And, you know, my mom used to, you know, make sure that he was involved with, you know, praying with us at night and things like that. But he really kind of lost interest around that time. And, you know, I don't know why it changed, but something changed. And I'm trying to think, I mean, it was mainly my mom who really read the Bible with us and prayed with us.
Now, was she aware of this ongoing wicked behavior on his part?
Some of it. There were times when she witnessed things, but it was very carefully managed. So, you know, for example, he would only, you know, maybe blow up and be really violent when she was at the grocery store.
Now, when you say violent, you know, he struck you? And...
There was, you know, he would hit me, or one time he threw me on the stairs. That was really terrifying. He had threatened to shoot me, throw plates and knives at me, or throw me against walls. One thing that he did, and I don't know if this was on purpose or if it was just a coincidence, but he usually, when he was violent, he did things that could be mistaken for accidents. So, for example, you know, he would push me into a wall. Well, you know, he could easily say that I fell, you know what I mean, to explain the bruises. And, there was definitely a facade, and he also taught Sunday school. He's a really smart guy. He has a PhD in theology.
Wow.
I mean, sorry, not theology, biology. But he's self-taught theology, and I mean, he's kind of one of those guys who, you know, if you ever want to argue about doctrine, you know, he can argue with you about just about anything till you're blue in the face, you know. And then
shows you that is never a ultimate and trustworthy sign of being genuinely born again.
Yes, in fact, you know, one of my favorite Bible verses, not for this reason, but it's from 1 Corinthians 13, is, I can speak in the tongues of men and angels,
yes,
but if I have no love, I am nothing. And that really, really describes what happened with my dad, because he was brilliant, you know? I mean, OPC spin on it, I guess, on that verse, I guess, would be, you know, I can speak in the tongues of Greek and Aramaic, but if I have no love, I am nothing, you know? It's just, you can be as educated as is humanly possible, but if you don't have that love of Christ in your heart, you're actually incredibly dangerous.
Yes, yes. The more one identifies and actually appears to be a member in good standing of Christ's church, the more he would be capable of fooling people, obviously, believe that he is a Christian, or she,
yeah.
And obviously the ramifications when a professing believer is involved in these things are much worse. In fact, in the scriptures, we're only forbidden to eat with people who live scandalously, who are professing Christians. We don't even have that prohibition to the pagan or for the pagan.
Sure.
So it's It's interesting. Now, I know that typically in a family, if a sibling, especially when you're little kids, mm-hmm. if a sibling does anything to you, just touches your arm or takes a forkful of your macaroni and cheese, the siblings are very quick to, Mommy, Daddy, look what Jimmy did, you know, on and on. I'm in people's homes all the time who have children, and I hear that constantly going on. But I'm assuming that perhaps the phenomenon when a parent is doing something in secret, it has a different effect on the mind of the child. I mean, you weren't...
Oh, yeah.
You weren't turning your dad in, as it were, to your mother and your other family members?
Yeah, there was... It's very hard to explain. There was a lot of contradictory things going on. So on the one hand, you know, we were very protective of each other to the point that we intentionally didn't want to get each other in trouble. And, I remember at one point, you know, when my dad, it was at the time that he actually threw me down on the stairs. I was pretty banged up, and one of my little sisters confronted him, and she just yelled at him, and she said, you know, don't you treat her like that. And, and that, to me, that meant the world.
How did he react to that?
Not well. He was very angry, but at the same time, I think that he knew that if he pushed it, he was gonna, you know, somebody was gonna call the cops or, you know, call our pastor or something like that. So thankfully he didn't get violent with her, but, you know, he screamed at her. And, so there was that element. We were protective of each other, but we were also very protective of my dad. And, you know, we had, and this is an element of the spiritual abuse that went on in our family. We were taught that if we were really good little girls, if we were really submissive and obedient and respectful, that maybe, you know, Dad would see Jesus in us and he would change and he would love us and he would become a better Christian. And so there was always that desire, you know, even if you were... if we were suffering terribly, very afraid and miserable, there's always, you want the best for your dad. You know, you want him to be saved and you want him to be a good person. And so, you know, I gave him chance after chance after chance to repent and to be a better dad. And he just, unfortunately, he used my love for him as a weapon against me. He used it as an opportunity to commit more sin.
Now, how many siblings do you have?
I have four little sisters.
They're all younger than you.
Yes.
To your knowledge, did he molest any of them?
Not to my knowledge, no. But I tend to be very private about their stories, you know, because I want them to be able to share them when they're ready.
Right. And we're going to go to our first station break right now. And before we do that, we're going to lead into that break with a song from one of Jennifer's CDs. And as you folks may remember, unless you tuned in late, Jennifer Michelle Greenberg is a pianist, vocalist, and songwriter who has received a wonderful commendation from Brian Ray, bassist and guitarist for Paul McCartney. And in fact, what Brian Ray has said is that Jennifer has a voice all her own in a world of conformity. That's a great a plug. How did Brian Ray become familiar with your music?
You know, what's funny is we went to a Paul McCartney concert, and I loved his guitar playing, and I checked out his website and his music, and I loved it, and I decided to email him some of my tracks.
You're talking about Brian Ray.
Yes, Brian Ray. And he responded, and he was really sweet. He was a really cool guy. Yeah.
Well, can you tell us something about the first song I'm going to play called Love?
Love, yes. Well, that is actually, that's very appropriate. So that's actually based on, you know, the verse that we were just talking about. If I speak in a tongue of men or and angels, but have not love. And so it's basically the words of God put to music as best I could.
Okay, well, remember, when we come back from the break, we're going to continue with Jennifer's story. And we'll take questions from our audience at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. But first, here is Love by Jennifer Michelle Greenberg. I hope you are as blessed by hearing it as I was.
If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I have no love in my heart, I am only the sound of raindrops falling down, meaningless in my static pound. If I fathom all the mysteries of the universe, if I prophesy and move mountains with my will, I am nothing if I can't grasp the power that love has, lost and wandering with no compass. If I sacrifice all my worldly possessions, if for others I lay down my very life, I gain nothing without love for the very stars above. They are dim when compared with love. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not boast, and love's not proud. Love will sacrifice, rejoice in truth, protect and trust and hope all things, even in the darkest hour. Even in the darkest hour. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I have no love in my heart, I am nothing, I'm just the static sound of raindrops falling on the ground. I am nothing if I have not love. I am nothing if I have not love.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens and Iron Radio. If you just tuned in, our guest today is Jennifer Michelle Greenberg, and we are discussing her autobiographical book, Not Forsaken, A Story of Life After Abuse, How Faith Brought One Woman from Victim to Survivor. If you have a question of your own for Jennifer, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we'll get to our listener questions momentarily. So please be patient. I just want to get through a few more main facts in Jennifer's story before we have listener questions. Now, how long did this go on in your life? Were you in your 20s? Were you in your 30s, et cetera?
Well, I would say that the certainly the physical and the sexual abuse continued throughout my childhood until I was 21. And at that point, I got married and moved out. But I was still in contact with, you know, my parents and my family. And so the psychological, the emotional, and the spiritual abuse continued for some years after that. But I would say for, you know, the first 21 years of my life, I was living with domestic violence and sexual abuse.
Wow. And did anybody in the family finally come to recognize the truth of this nightmare you were going through and confront your father on it?
Yeah, it was actually when I was engaged to be married, my family had moved to Dallas, and one of my sisters came to me privately, and she said, you know, Jennifer, I just caught Dad in his boxers looking at pornography. And I got this weird feeling that he had wanted me to find him.
Wow.
And at that point, I knew that, well, I had had this fear for some time, but that kind of clinched the matter that once I moved out, once I got married and left home, he was going to start targeting my sisters. And I decided, you know, I was resolved that, you know, if I could do anything to stop it, that it would not happen. And so I wrote my dad a letter, and I told him that he was going to talk to our pastor. He was going to tell our pastor everything, and he was going to start seeing a counselor to deal with his anger issues, and he was also going to see a marriage therapist to fix his marriage, his relationship with my mom. And I told him, you have 1 week to do all of this, to at least set all these balls rolling. And if you don't do these things, then I'm going to tell everyone everything. And, you know, I hid that letter in his bicycle helmet. He used to go out on bicycle rides every Saturday morning. And so I put the letter in his helmet and waited for, you know, I sat down at the breakfast table and I waited for him to find it. And sure enough, he found it and he read it, and he was very calm and very quiet. And then he just folded it back up. And I think I don't remember if he put it in his back pocket or he threw it in the trash or what, but either way, he just left on his bicycle ride. And he never said anything to me about it. He never looked at me. He never brought it up. He never he never yelled at me. He just acted like it had never happened. And so a week later, I took my mom aside and I told her everything. And, you know, some of it she knew, some of it she had witnessed, some of it she had suspected, and some of it she didn't know anything about. And so it was extremely traumatic for her, I know, to hear that from her child. So I told her, and from there, the church was informed, and shortly thereafter, law enforcement was informed. And, of course, during this whole time, I'm planning my wedding, so that was bizarre. It was really surreal. I went ahead and I let my dad walk me down the aisle, because I didn't want to turn my wedding into a statement.
Right.
And my mom and my sisters were not ready yet for it to be public information, so I agreed to kind of proceed as normal. I wasn't going to let his sin influence how my wedding happened. You know, for lack of a better explanation, that's really just how I felt. I was like, I'm not going to let your problems mess up my wedding. So, but because it's kind of humorous, actually, Jason's family is Jewish, ethnically Jewish, not religiously, but ethnically Jewish. And I found that there was this tradition in Jewish families that the mother and the father walked the daughter down the aisle. And so at my wedding, my mom and my dad both walked me down the aisle. And that was, part of that was to honor, you know, my husband's family. But part of it was also, you know, to send my dad a very clear message that, look, you haven't been a good dad. And, you know, you don't have the right to give me away. So you don't have that honor exclusively. And so my mom and my dad both gave me away. But shortly thereafter, you know, my parents went through a very long and drawn out and traumatic divorce. And, it severely traumatized my sisters. So it was a very, very difficult, and painful situation.
Now, what did your elders do, and what did the police do when they found out about all this?
Right. Well, that was kind of odd to me, actually. Our church didn't really do much of anything. They put my dad under church discipline at first, but then, for reasons that I am not privy to, they restored him to membership. And shortly thereafter, he transferred to a different church where, as far as I'm aware, he remains a member in good standing, despite the fact that they know all of these things about him.
To this day, you
mean? I'm sorry?
To this day, you mean?
To this day, yes. And, the police, you know, a lot of it was very difficult for the police because the abuse occurred in different states, and some of the limitations were already up by the time I was 21. Unfortunately, for example, with the rape when I was 2 years old, that under Tennessee law, it's technically considered, you know, quote, aggravated rape of a child, end quote. But I would have had to report it within a certain span of time. And so by the time that I even remembered that it had happened and understood what it even meant, it was already too late to charge him with a crime. And since that happened, the laws have changed so that there's no statute of limitations on child rape, but the law was, I guess, not retroactive to the year that it occurred for me. So it's all very convoluted and confusing, but mm-hmm. He's been charged with a few things, I believe, but you know, for the bulk of his abuse, he can't be charged, as far as I'm aware.
You know something? When I was listening to your story, I was just about to ask you, did I ever interview your husband? Because
no.
Because your story is so much like, nearly identical to somebody else I've interviewed who I can't right now remember his name. But he was the husband of a woman that was molested in childhood through her teen years, perhaps even in her early 20s. I can't remember. But
yeah.
the way that I realized it wasn't the same story is that you said that he is still living and a member of a church. This man went to prison because he actually molested one of the grandchildren, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Oh, my goodness. That's so horrible. Yeah, I am extremely blessed that I have a husband who is extremely protective of me, and I realized how dangerous my dad was when I did. That is before I had children. And so my dad, I'm sure he's seen pictures of them, and I know that he's seen them, you know, like at siblings' weddings and things like that, but he doesn't know them, and they don't know him. So that's been a strange and a painful thing to have to deal with. You know, they always ask me, and it's like, well, daddy has a daddy. You know, we have Papa Allen. You know, why don't we have, where's your daddy? You know, how do I explain that? And so, you know, I've had to just, you know, in very simple terms say, well, my dad was a bad person and he didn't love me. And, you know, and so I don't know him anymore. And, you know, thankfully my kids are young enough that they accept that. But, you know, there have been questions like, well, did he hurt you? Did he say mean things? But, you know, it's one of those things that I think God really works through. You know, and this is just one example, but, you know, for example, my oldest daughter, she's 7 years old, and she was dealing with a little boy at school who hit her and pushed her. And so I was able to, you know, talk to her. It's like, okay, well, you know, this, you know, we don't know what's going on in this little boy's life. We need to pray for him, and we need to, you know, how do we respond to people when they're mean to us? You know, what do we do? And so, you know, we talked to the teachers and his parents but, you know, it's just an example, a very small example of how God has used my past experiences to equip me, I think, to equip my children.
Yeah, could you give us that example when we come back from the break? We have to go to a midway break right now.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Chris.
This is an elongated break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, always requires a longer middle break because they have to air their own public service announcements. While we air our globally heard commercials, they, by FCC regulations, have to localize Iron Sharp and Zion Radio to Lake City, Florida. So please be patient with this longer break. Please write down as much of the information as possible provided by our advertisers so that you can keep them happy by patronizing them, and they will therefore hopefully remain our advertisers, which will mean that we will remain on the air because we depend on our advertisers to exist. So write down that information, contact our advertisers, patronize them whenever possible, and write down questions for our guest, Jennifer Michelle Greenberg, at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors like the turquoise goat skin, tanned in Italy, used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goatskin inside liner and the electric blue goatskin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in His infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of His design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in His design. Thank you.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, with all the reasons that you're buying gifts coming up for those you love, including Father's Day, including wedding anniversaries and birthdays and graduation gifts and back-to-school gifts, all kinds of gifts, please remember solid-ground-books.com as your first stop for all your gift shopping. That's solid-ground-books.com. And keep in mind that Solid Ground Christian Books is a premier sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are vital to us. We would likely not exist without the finances that come through Solid Ground Christian Books advertising. So please keep them happy by patronizing them as much as possible. And you'll be purchasing, in doing so, the finest in Christian literature from the past and present. And please don't solely buy gifts for your Christian loved ones from solid-ground-books.com. Remember that the lost might be led to Christ through some book or books that you purchase for them as gifts from solid-ground-books.com. Always remember to tell Mike Gaidosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to our guest, Jennifer Michelle Greenberg, I just have a couple of more announcements, and then we're going to play another one of her songs. This Friday is going to be part three of a two-day debate that we aired last Thursday and Friday, May 28th and 29th, were the first 2 days of the debate. And now June 5th will be the third day of the debate. This is a debate between a world-renowned full preterist, Don K. Preston. A full preterist is someone who has an aberrant view of eschatology, in which they teach that Jesus already returned finally in AD 70 to destroy the temple in Jerusalem, and therefore he is not returning in the future, and that the physical bodies of both believers and the lost are not going to be resurrected in our future. In fact, every New Testament prophecy was fulfilled on AD 70, according to these full preterists. A former full preterist, Sam Frost, debated Don K. Preston last week on 2 days, both on the return of Christ and on the bodily resurrection of the dead. And now both of them return this Friday to mainly take listener questions, because we had so little time to do so last week. So we're going to have both of them give a recap of the debate in their own words, and then we will move on to nearly exclusively taking audience questions about this very important topic that has divided the body of Christ in some areas. So Please make a note of it to tune in on Friday. And you can also hear the archived recordings of last Thursday and Friday's debate on IronTruppensIronRadio.com on the past shows podcast section of the website. And folks, if you love this show and you don't want this show to disappear from the airwaves, you love the guests and topics that we frequently feature on this show that are never heard anywhere else. You love sharing the free downloadable MP3s of programs with family, friends, and loved ones. You love winning free books, like the one we're giving away today by our guest, Jennifer Michelle Greenberg, Not Forsaken. And you love winning free Bibles and so on. Well, if you don't want the show to go away, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. And you could also, if you would like to advertise with us, you could send me an email that put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what we believe, you don't have to believe identically with me, but as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe here, then you can feel free to send in a request for an advertising proposal to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Please remember, folks, never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, especially during this time of the pandemic, when many churches have been hit very hard financially. So never do that to your church, especially during this pandemic. And never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God. Providing for church and home, providing for this radio show, is not a command of God. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and home, and you're financially comfortable enough, especially since you're not going to your favorite sporting events lately, you're not going to the movies, you're not going to theatrical performances at playhouses, you're not going to fine restaurants, you're not going to Bible conferences, well, with that money that you saved, can you spare some of that, please, to help us remain on the air, if indeed you love the show? So remember, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And if you want to donate through a snail mail by sending in a check, an address will appear on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail a check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And please be as generous as you can and frequent as you can with these gifts. I'm hoping it's just temporary, but we lost two of our largest financial supporters due to the negative effects on their businesses from the coronavirus pandemic and the hysteria that has been attached to it. So please help us make up for that lost income by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio today and regularly, if possible, at ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church, you need help finding one. No matter where you live in the world, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the globe, and I've helped many people find churches in all parts of the world that they have either joined, or sometimes they visit these churches on vacation, or sometimes they refer to them to family members and loved ones who do not know of a church near where they live in all parts of the world. So if you're having difficulty finding a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and that's also the email address where you can send in a question to Jennifer Michelle Greenberg. And the email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. And before I return to our discussion, Jennifer, I'd like to play one more song, and we'll hopefully have time to play one or two more later. But if you could tell us a little bit about this next song that we're going to play, called Isaiah.
Oh, yes. This is actually a song that I wrote with my husband, Jason. And, of course, it's based on verses from Isaiah, but I really hope you enjoy it. It's a verse that means a lot to me, emotionally and spiritually, and I hope that it comforts you.
Well, here it is, Isaiah, by Jennifer Michelle Greenberg. Be blessed as much as I am.
Listen in the sons of man, sons of final winds, Lord, changing the heavens, drawing
Isaiah by Jennifer Michelle Greenberg. What a beautiful voice she has.
Thank you.
And we have some listener questions, and actually one of them is a comment. It's from an anonymous listener, and the anonymous listener says, "Hi, Chris and Jennifer. I myself am an abused survival. I am an abuse survival Christian of both physical and spiritual abuse. I learnt to forgive long ago, and this was the start of my healing, even in the midst of abuse. However, I was still drawn to dysfunctioning churches without knowing it, and thus time and time again, I became a victim of similar spiritual abuse to a lesser degree. The pattern was that all of these leaders were never trained, they were self-appointed, and not responsible to any outside voice, only their own group. There was no membership in them. When I cried out for help in the churches, I was always told it was my fault. I was not submissive. I received untold criticism and rejection at the hands of Christians. A turning point for me was when someone handed me a copy of Battered into Submission, Tragedy of Wife Abuse in the Christian Home, by Alsdurf, James, and Phyllis." Oh, I see. It's probably James and Phyllis Alsdurf, A-L-S-D-U-R-F. "I knew then I was not alone in my dilemma. Thank God I am in a very sound church now, and I'm growing in leaps and bounds in my faith and walk with the Lord. If there is someone out there listening to this program and this email being read out who is in an abusive relationship, be it spiritual, emotional, mental, or physical, and you are not getting help from your local church, please know that you are not alone, and there is genuine help out there available. Thank you, Anonymous. Mm-hmm. You have any comments about this woman's note?
Well, it is such a difficult thing, you know, when you've been in an abusive situation for a very long time, you know, or even grown up in it. It can be so hard to discern, you know, what is healthy, what is love, what does God mean when He calls Himself our Father, you know, and what is spiritually healthy. And I'm just thankful to God that this person was able to be shepherded through that by God and brought into a good church. That's an incredible blessing.
And thank you, Anonymous. And if you give me your full mailing address, we'll make sure that you get a copy of this book, which is written by our guest, Not Forsaken. And that's compliments of the Good Book Company, the publishers of this book, and also compliments of CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, who always ship out our winners in the audience, the books and Bibles they win by submitting questions. Let's see here. We have another anonymous listener with a question. What would you say to a woman who is in a church and being abused by her husband? She is someone who has kept up appearances for years to protect her husband's reputation.
That's tough because, you know, it's hard to know what's happening in the situation. I would say definitely if you are being physically harmed, if you are in fear for your safety, if you're being sexually abused, you know, please do contact law enforcement. Make sure that you are safe. And, you know, there are many organizations, you know, there are government organizations, but then there's also organizations like RAIN. You know, you can call anonymously, you can get legal advice, you know, and identify whether or not what you're enduring is criminal. Certainly if you are, you know, in fear for your safety, you know, please do protect yourself. Don't wait. You know, God does not desire His children to be badly treated. He doesn't. And, you know, He loves us, and He loves His children. And so it's honoring to God when we stand up against abuse and we protect ourselves.
Yes, aren't we doing, even though it doesn't appear this way initially, especially to the one who is the abuser, the one being exposed, aren't we really doing them a favor? Because we could be doing something that leads to their repentance. We could be
Absolutely.
Doing something that prevents their own life from having more devastating ramifications, which may mean even prison. And we're also helping to protect other innocent victims.
Absolutely. You're limiting that person's ability to sin. When you come forward, you report your abuse, you know, or you, even if it's not criminal abuse, maybe they're just a cruel person. They're damaging your face. They're damaging you emotionally. They're making you depressive or anxious or whatever it may be. They're not healthy for you to be around. But by putting up those walls, by putting up those boundaries, by holding them accountable and calling sin, sin, we are actually calling them to repentance, and we're limiting their ability to be sinful against us. And so that is a very loving thing to do. And, you know, we have a wonderful God who works all things together for good. And, you know, so when we hold someone accountable, we're giving them an opportunity to repent, to call on God, to accept Christ into their heart, and to change. And that's something that could mean the difference between that person going to heaven and going to hell. So, yes, it's absolutely the most loving thing you can do is to report your abuser, to confront them with their evil, and to hold them accountable for what they've done wrong.
Thank you, Anonymous. And just like our previous listener with a question, if you'd like to give us your full name off the air, of course, and your full mailing address, we will have this book shipped out to you as our gift to you and as the Good Book Company's gift to you, Not Forsaken, A Story of Life After Abuse. And you can also thank Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who will be shipping that out to you at no charge to you or to us. We have Anthony in Hoshton, Georgia, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Hoschton. And he says, is true forgiveness possible if the person doing the abuse is unrepentant? Does the answer change at all if the abuse is primarily psychological and emotional rather than escalating to physical life-threatening abuse? And what scriptural principles did Mrs. Greenberg discover along this difficult path? And that's an interesting question because there is a division, a debate amongst Reformed Christians, or should I say Calvinists, because one of them, John MacArthur, is a dispensationalist, but he's a Calvinist. And he's one of my heroes, and he takes a view that I personally do not agree with. It's one of the few things I disagree with him on. But he believes that we are to forgive everyone, regardless of whether they ask for forgiveness, regardless of whether they acknowledge their sin, and we just forgive, forgive, forgive. And Jay Adams, another theologically reformed person who wrote the book From Forgiven to Forgiving, believes that forgiveness is only for those who repent, just like it is with God, because hell would be empty if God forgave the way that many Christians believe we should forgive. And there's another excellent book by Chris Braunz titled Unpacking Forgiveness, and he takes a similar or nearly identical position to Jay Adams. I've had both of these men. Actually, I've had all three on my show. The difference is John MacArthur didn't discuss that issue. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I actually have a chapter in my book, Not Forsaken, on forgiveness. And one of the things, you know, that I have learned is that, you know, there are certain people who are not repentant and not even God forgives them. So unless I'm more holy than God, unless I'm more loving and more forgiving and more merciful than God, you know, I don't think that there's biblical basis for me to try to force myself to forgive. And I also think, you know, just when you're familiar with the Bible, I mean, this is very apparent, you know, God doesn't want us to live a lie. He doesn't want hypocrisy. He doesn't want us to pretend to be something that we're not. So, of course, if we're deeply hurt, God's not going to be holding a stopwatch on our ability to forgive. You know, so I would just, you know, Anthony, I would just strongly encourage you, saying that regardless of whatever type of abuse you have witnessed or you've experienced, I would say that, you know, God is angry with the wicked every day. That's a proverb. It's in the Bible. God is angry about evil. So when you and I are angry about evil, it's righteous anger. This is something that God can relate with because he's angry about evil too. And so that's a profound and beautiful way that we can actually relate with the creator of the universe, because we don't like evil. We don't tolerate evil, and that's good. That's loving. That's righteous. We shouldn't. So, you know, anger is something that even when it's righteous, even when it's justified, it's painful because we're upset, we're angry about something bad that happened either to someone we love or to ourselves. And so we're deeply hurt. And, you know, unfortunately, one of the things that I've learned is when anger lives in your heart for too long, eventually it becomes a burden. It begins to inhibit your ability to feel joy, to feel peace. It's just this constant weight on your heart. And what I eventually had to do was I had to pray to God, and I had to say, you know what, Jesus, you carried my sin to the cross. You took care of all my sin. You paid the price for me. I know that you're already angry with the wicked every day, but I need you to take this anger out of my heart and carry this for me and enable me to trust you to be angry on my behalf. You know, and if my abuser repents, that's awesome. You know, you can forgive him. You can deal with that. You know his heart. You see what's going on in his head. I can't see that. I can't judge his heart, so I don't know how to trust him. Even if he tells me that he's repentant, even if someday he seems to really have changed, I don't know if I'll be able to trust him again because I'm human. I can't read his mind. And so, you know, I had to pray, Jesus, I need you to take this responsibility off my shoulders. Take this burden away from me and just let me feel peace. And I'm not going to lie and say that it wasn't a process, but that was a huge milestone in my recovery process that I was able to slowly, to really begin to let go of my anger and to come to a place of inner peace. And granted, that doesn't mean that I'm reconciled with my dad. That doesn't mean I'm ever going to let him near my children, that I'm ever going to speak to him again. But what it does mean is that I trust God to take care of him. If God's going to save him, God's going to save him. And if God's not going to save him, I'm also okay with that because I trust God and I know that God is good.
Amen. And folks, I just want you to know that if you are on the side of Jay Adams in the way he exegetes this subject from the scriptures about forgiveness, keep in mind that you are biblically prohibited from harboring hatred for these people and doing evil to them. You're supposed to love your enemies and pray for them and do good to them, but that is not the same thing as forgiveness. In fact, it could be said that you cannot, it is impossible to actually forgive, with a biblical definition, someone who is unwilling to even admit guilt, because forgiveness involves the release of a debt. And if somebody is in a belief that they don't have a debt, that they don't owe you anything, that this forgiveness is really just words. And of course, none of us should ever, as I've heard people do, even very famous Christians, forgive people for heinous crimes they've committed when they were not even a part of this crime. The criminal is a total stranger to them, but he might be notorious globally. And the Christian minister will sometimes say in a news program, "I forgive that person." It's not your business to forgive that person. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. You're kind of putting yourself in the place of Jesus at that point, and that's pretty scary, actually, when you think about it.
Right. Well, thanks, Anthony, and thank you for your recent, very generous financial gift to Iron Trump and Zion Radio as well. And you are getting a free copy of Not Forsaken, so keep your eye open in the mail for that. We have someone. I usually just give the first name and city and state or country of listeners who write in. But when a pastor that I feel confident I can recommend writes in, I identify them in full. And this is Pastor Arthur Fox of New Hope Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Hanford, California. And he says, "Jennifer, I am so sorry that you," I have to broaden this email because it was hiding things by being shrunk down. I am so sorry that you had to go through your trauma, but so glad for the way you have graciously recovered by God's grace. Pretend I am about a year from starting my first pastorate. Please give me counsel on how best to be gracious in counseling and aiding the younger you in the time when you were hurt by your pastor and other ministers. What do you wish I would understand first day on the job? I have prayed for your healing, and I think I see the answers in what I have read.
Well, thank you, Pastor Fox. I really appreciate that. One thing that I do wish had really happened early on was that someone had involved law enforcement, that someone had helped me understand that actual crimes had been committed. Because one of the things that I think, not you in particular, but just people in general need to understand is that, you know, when you've been gaslighted and brainwashed and told that you're living a normal life when in fact you're being abused so many times and for over two decades, it's very hard to know what's real and what's true and what's a crime and what's, you know, sin, and to differentiate all these things, because there's so much pain, it's overwhelming. And on top of all that pain and all the broken relationships, to have to sort through, you know, legal jargon on Google or whatever, it's incredibly overwhelming. And so one of the things that I really wish had happened is that someone would have put me in touch with law enforcement to kind of say, yes, Jennifer, these are actual crimes. You know, these are the things you can do to protect yourself. You know, here's some things you can do to keep yourself safe. And so, you know, just practical things that I just didn't know how to do and honestly didn't have the emotional energy to deal with.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Arthur, and I want to give your website out to give you a little plug here. New Hope Hanford, HANFORD.org, newhopehanford.org. That's for New Hope Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Hanford, California. And we're going to go to our final break right now. And I want to play one more song before the break. And if you could tell us a little bit about the song Whittled.
Oh, yes. This song always makes me cry. This is just a real song from my heart. It's a song about enduring heartbreak, but God always being there with you.
Okay, well, here is Whittled by our guest today, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
Stand against me. stand against me. Much like a river, you wear away my banks, and so sycophantic, undermining my strength, and your words are poison, creeping throughout my veins. What our hearts sometimes play, and anyone in my predicament would have done the same, and anyone with a lesser God would fall, but I'm still.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart?
consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. We have another anonymous listener. And the anonymous listener says, I heard you talk about forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, we read, Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. What have you to say about that? And the last part was the listener who is anonymous. And, well, if you, for my two cents, before Jennifer has anything to say, if you look further down in that same text in Matthew 18, the man who is in debt shows great remorse and repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, or should I say the text says that he lies down prostrate on the ground before him. Have patience with me and I will repay you everything. So he's not saying, I don't owe you anything. He's not ignoring the fact that he's in debt. So that evidence doesn't really hold to the whole story. I mean,
right. The verse clearly says your brother. If your brother sins against you, it's not talking about someone who is unregenerate and unrepentant and repeatedly harming you. And I think too, you know, even in the case that someone is a repentant sinner, there are certain things that are just wise and good and practical. You know, for example, you know, if we have a brother or sister in Christ who is prone to alcoholism, we're not going to celebrate their birthday at a bar. We're not going to, we're just not going to expose them to things that are going to tempt them, you know, that might lead them into sin. And so I think the most loving thing you can do if someone is abusive and they either won't stop or they can't stop, again, is to lovingly get them help and hold them accountable.
And we have, let's see, Jennifer in Shawnee, Kansas. How does Jennifer handle the PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, from the things that happened to her in the past? I am sure she probably speaks of this in the book, though so maybe I just need to wait until I read it to find out. Thank you.
Yes, I do. I do talk about it in the book quite a bit. My PTSD, it started out very, very unpleasant. The first year of my marriage, I started having flashbacks and panic attacks and nightmares every night. It was just awful. But, you know, over time as I recovered, it grew less and less and less. And so currently I'm granted this is 13, 14 years later, but currently my situation is that I deal with anxiety and sometimes I deal with mild depression. But my anxiety at this point is to a place where I've found that if I just, and I have to be very regulated, but I have to get enough sleep because I've found that if I'm tired, everything is worse. It's much, much, much worse, and I don't cope with it as well. So I need to get enough sleep. I need to eat right. And one thing that I love doing is exercising. I love to get out and run in the sunshine, and, there's a pretty little lake near our neighborhood. I love to run around it and see the ducks, and I just get out of the house, away from the kids and the mundane aspects of life, doing the dishes and all that stuff. Just get out and enjoy the fresh air and blow off some steam. And this is probably a weird thing to say on your radio show, Chris, but I love listening to heavy metal music.
Well, you did hear the opening music for the show, didn't you?
Yes, yes, I did. There's some awesome guitar work going on in there. And it just, just little things like that that just help me vent, help me express myself. And, you know, I find that my anxiety in particular, it's like static that's kind of built up on fabric. And so I just have this kind of like excess energy and I need to work it out. And so, you know, listening to some loud music, going running or jogging or lifting weights or whatever is a way that I can kind of get rid of that excess energy and feel better. And so that's kind of how I'm currently managing it.
Okay, we have Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, a very faithful listener and supporter of this program. You've spoken about the physical abuse, but I know that along with that came mental abuse. Would you address that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that for any type of abuse, psychological, mental, emotional abuse, you know, whatever you want to call it, is kind of the foundation that abusers lay, either on purpose as a strategy to keep you quiet, or just because this is who they are. You know, it depends. I think there's probably a little of both. But yeah, there's always, you know, lies about, you know, you did this, you deserve this, and you deserve to be treated this way, you're stupid, you're being irrational. You know, one thing that my dad, tried to convince me that I was irrational and that I couldn't trust my judgment. And I remember one time I had the chicken pox, and I was covered with chicken pox, and I was running a 103 degree fever. And my dad told me to stop being dramatic and stop complaining and, you know, just to just, you know, be happy and, you know, stop bothering him about things. And that was kind of a point in my life. I was about 18, 17 or 18 at the time, and it just kind of dawned on me how ridiculous it was for him to say that. And I started to see through a lot of the lies and the mind games that were going on. And, you know, mind games and psychological abuse are such a strange thing, because even today, you know, every so often I remember something and I think, oh, this is why I get anxious when someone stands too close behind me. Or this is why I feel so ridiculously embarrassed when someone criticizes me. You know, so I'm always trying to, you know, whatever I'm dealing with, I try to trace it back to something in my past. And once I kind of trace it back, I'm able to go, okay, well, this is not an irrational emotion. This is not a fear without basis. This is something that's rooted in reality. This is something in my past, and I can deal with this. And, you know, if my abuser could harm me from the outside, then I can heal from the inside. And so that, to me, has always been incredibly encouraging, just to know that if someone could inflict this damage from the outside, then God can certainly work from the inside and overcome this in my life.
Well, we're out of time, and those of you who want to do some further investigation on Jennifer Greenberg's ministry, her website is jennifergreenberg.net, jennifergreenberg.net, and her publisher, who was so kind to donate the books. By the way, everybody who wrote in today will win a free book if you give us your full mailing address. The Good Book Company can be found at thegoodbook.com, thegoodbook.com, that's here in North America and in the UK. It's thegoodbook.co.uk. Thegoodbook.co.uk. And try to purchase all of your books that you hear about on Iron Sharpens Zion Radio from cvbbs.com. Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, who is a sponsor of the show. Jennifer, I look forward to having you back on the program. It's been a joy, and I can't wait for our next discussion.
It's been an honor, Chris. Thank you so much.
And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.